focusing upon this morning. So Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 4. Ephesians 2 and verse 4. It says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for just all you have given us in your word, Lord, to instruct us and teach us in what we are to do as your people. And we just pray you would open up our understanding of it this morning and just help us to understand what you ask of us as your people. And by your power and strength, bring it to pass, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our salvation through faith in Christ is something that we should never take for granted or cease to be thankful for. That moment in which an individual trusts in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that alone, that person is forgiven of their sins. They're cleansed, they're justified, they're redeemed, they're adopted into God's family, and they're granted eternal life. That we realize that it is not at all what we deserve, that all of us are sinners. It's not at all something that we earned, but rather, as it says, that it is a gift from God, a gift of His grace, which we received by faith. It's nothing for any of us to boast of or glory in, that we kind of were good enough to get to heaven or we earned our way. That Paul said that God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Christ Jesus my Lord, that we glory in that because that is the only way of salvation that has been provided. And I think each day it's important for us as believers to spend some time just contemplating what we were before we were saved, where we would be if we hadn't gotten saved, and what God has done in our lives since that time. That it's a valuable thing to do. It gives us a proper perspective of things and of ourselves and of others around us. It helps us to honor God and be thankful for Him, because He wants us to be a thankful people. That's part of His will for us, is to be a thankful people. But the question that we need to ask ourselves and find an answer to is, now what? When we've passed from death into life, that our eternal destiny is settled, we know that we're not just killing time until we get to heaven. That if God just wanted us to get saved and go to heaven, then He just, as soon as we're saved, He'd take us to heaven. But there's a reason why we're still on this earth, that there's something He wants us to do. We're here for a purpose. And so we want to find out what that purpose is and seek to accomplish that purpose for His power, by His power and for His glory. And so in this passage we've looked at this morning, we see that after what are some of the clearest verses describing salvation, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you be saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have verse 10, which gives and declares to us what we are to do and how we are to live now that we are saved. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That phrase it gives, that we are His workmanship, that we are something that the Lord Jesus is making, that we were made new creatures in Christ Jesus, that He started a work in us upon salvation, and He will continue that until we pass on into eternity. Philippians 1 verse 6, it speaks of that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. And so we are His workmanship. What we become, it's His doing, and He gets the glory. And it's the sense from verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding of his riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus and all that he does for us, not just in salvation alone, but in all the rest of our life as believers on this earth. But the key I want to focus upon today is that it speaks that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That the purpose for which we were born again, the purpose for which we were created anew, was for good works. It was a plan for every believer which God has set down from the beginning, that we should walk in good works. And we see this phrase, good works, throughout the New Testament scriptures. Again and again, Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16, where the Lord in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That we see it spoken of the Lord, we see it stressed by Paul actually quite a bit in his letters to Timothy and to Titus, that he's instructing them so that they would know what to instruct those that they are being pastors unto. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, that he gives the idea that the women, that they were to adorn themselves in modest apparel, and not with gold or pearls or costly array, but, verse 10, with good works, that was to be their adornment, what was to be their focus, to be adorned with good works. We see in 1 Timothy 5 and verse 10, that where it spoke of widows that were to be kind of qualifications for those that were to come and be cared for by the church. One of the things was that they would be well reported of for good works. And we see that he gives in 1 Timothy 6 and verse 17 the charge to those that were rich, that they wouldn't be high-minded or trust in their uncertain riches, but verse 18, that they would do good and that they would be rich in good works. We see as well in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17 that it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." We see as well in Titus, he speaks to Titus that he is in all things to show himself a pattern of good works to all those that are around him. Titus, further on in that chapter, that it speaks of Christ, that he gave himself for us, verse 14, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We see that chapter 3 and verse 1, that we're to be ready to every good work. We see verse 8, where he says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." That he's trying to say that this is something you need to repeat, that you need to affirm constantly to them. And even in verse 14 it says, "Let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." That we find as well in Hebrews chapter 10, the verse where it says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." That it's something that as believers often we find it's easily to provoke one another, but it's the idea that we're to provoke one another to love and good works. That's what we're to try to encourage each other in. That it's part of assembling together, and as we see the day approach, that we want to do that all the more for one another. And then finally we see in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 and 12 it says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." And so we see from the scriptures that good works are something that is important for us as believers. And from Titus especially, we see that we're to be careful to maintain good works. But not only that we're to be ready to every good work, we're to be zealous of good works. So we see that it is to be a big part of who we are as believers in our walk with the Lord from the time of our salvation to the time that we pass into eternity. But the challenge, and I think the confusion, comes with, first of all, defining what good works actually are. Secondly, in understanding why we are to do the good works. And thirdly, understanding how we are to do those good works. That we can get confused on these things in the what, the why, and the how, and it can get us into all manner of trouble, that we get on the wrong track, we do it for the wrong reasons, or we do it in the wrong way, and it doesn't accomplish what God has set out. And so we want to try to clarify that and understand that from the Scriptures, what it means and why we are to do good works and how we are to accomplish those good works. So first of all, we want to look at what the good works actually are. And I think sometimes when we think of good works, well, we assume, well, good works means just not doing evil works. That we think, well, before we were saved, we lied, we stole, we hated, we lusted. And we think, well, as a Christian, if I stop doing those things, then I must be fine. Those are good works. And that's true in a sense, and certainly we're on the right track. That we were in bondage to sin before, and we're not to be the servants of sin anymore. But yet, in that same passage in Romans 6 that speaks about us once being servants of sin, it says that we're now to be servants under righteousness. That it gives a sense that it's a step further. That a lot of times we focus on stopping the sins of commission, and that's important. But then we recognize the Scriptures teach that there's also sins of omission, things that we should do that we haven't done, that we want to try to do those things. We want to start doing them. And so we see that. The good works entails more than just not doing the negative. It also means doing what is positive. We see, I think, what's a good example of that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, where it states, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth." That you can think of it, that someone was a thief, that they were essentially a negative on society, that they were taking away from others, they were doing others wrong. But we see that that negative is stopped, but now that they're doing something positive, they're laboring, they're working, they're doing something that's good and profitable, and then with what they have done, that then they have so that they may give to those that are in need. That it's stepping beyond and doing much more. And so I think that's important that we understand that good works are not just stopping doing things, but starting doing other things. And I think that's important for other reasons as well. I think for many that are lost, kind of their view of Christianity is kind of, well, as a Christian you have all this list of stuff that you can't do. And that's all that they think that Christianity is. And we want to show them that there's a whole lot more to the Christian life than that. That those things that we're not to do, it's because they bring emptiness and misery, but there's something else that we're doing. We're laying those things aside so that we can grasp something greater, that we can accomplish something that's much nobler. And we wanted to do that, to understand that way. If we break down the words themselves of what good works means, the Greek words, the word for good means things that are beautiful, excellent, that are commendable, admirable, useful, free from guile, and of God. The works in good works means the business which we are occupied with. Any product that is accomplished by hand, an act or a deed. So together the idea of good works is the idea that it's things that we do in our daily life, our business, what we produce, that is excellent, that is beneficial, that is noble, that serves as a reflection and a testimony of God's goodness. That we see it written of Christ in Acts 10 verse 38 that he went about doing good. That it was a thought that when he was upon this earth that he went to help people. That if people had needs, whatever it might be, that he would seek to fulfill those needs by the power of the Lord. And as we are conformed to his image, we recognize that we want to be doing the same, that we see people have needs and we want to help them with that. We see that with Christ, that he met the physical needs of people, and through doing so, he was able to also meet their spiritual needs, that he might feed them food, they were hungry, but then it would give them time to speak with them and share with them the truth, and so that they would know their need and come to him for the meeting of that need. And I think we want to recognize that as important, of both trying to meet people's physical needs, but then also never neglecting their spiritual needs either. Because, and I was reading up, someone had made a statement on this, that sometimes we tend to neglect one or the other, that we can focus so much on kind of the humanitarian work that it becomes kind of a social gospel, and we neglect to share the gospel with people. And the thought with that is well, if we do that, we've made their life better here on this earth, but then when they pass from this earth, they're still going to spend a Christless eternity. And so we want to help meet their need as well. But the thing is, as well, is that if we try just to give just the gospel, just without ever doing any kind of work to show love and to try to minister to someone's physical needs and troubles right now, that they're not necessarily open to hear the truth. They don't see a heart of love behind that. And so ministering to someone's physical needs can open the door so that we can speak to them of their spiritual need. So the what of good works, therefore, is the sense that throughout our day, throughout our lives, that we seek to minister to the needs of others, that we seek to make a difference in other people's lives, that we do what we can to meet the needs of people as we see it and as the Lord shows it to us, that we are in service to our fellow men and women, that God wants us to have a heart that we're looking and seeing what others are going through, and that we try to help them when we can. We see spoken of in Isaiah 58 of God's desire, that Isaiah 58, that in verse 6, that we would loose the bands of wickedness, that we would undo the heavy burdens and let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke, to deal our bread to the hungry, to bring the poor that are cast out to thy house. When thou seest the naked, that we cover them, that we hide not ourselves from our own flesh. If we draw out our soul from speaking vanity, or draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, that these are things that the Lord wants us to do, to help those that are in need, help those that are in trouble. That it is a high and a holy calling, and we want to answer that call. That we're ready to every good work, that we're zealous of good works, that it's not something that we do grudgingly, I should do this, I have to do this, but rather willingly, that this is an opportunity that we have to minister to someone on God's behalf, and we're glad to do it. And that brings us to the second question, and that is the why of good works. Because if we know the right reasons to do good works, that'll help us have the right motivation. That if it's just out of duty, that, well, I should do this as a Christian because that's what's expected of me, or if it's out of fear that if I don't do this that God's going to chasten me, then it'll become burdensome to us. But if we do it for the right reasons, with the right heart attitude, it makes it a delight. It's not I have to, but instead I get to. Where we read in the Psalms first thing this morning of how that we delight to do His will, that we know this is what God wants me to do, and I know why, and so I want to do it with a willing heart and a heart that is delighted to do it for the Lord. So first of all, we need to understand that we don't do good works in order to be saved or to stay saved, but because we are saved. That there's much false teaching out there in this world that says that even though we have to believe in Christ to be saved, that it's kind of, well, if we don't maintain a certain level of good works, that then we're going to lose our salvation. That God has given us a gift, but we can kind of throw it away if we don't keep this certain level. That it's, we're saved by grace through faith, but kind of we have to keep our salvation through our works. And then if we lose our salvation, how do we get it back? Well, by trying to do good works again. It just, our salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. That Christ died on the cross, he said that it's finished, that his work was once for all, that he did all that was necessary for our salvation. And to think that we have to add to his works with our own works to kind of complete our salvation only serves to declare that his works were not sufficient. And we don't want to do that. We do not do good works in order to keep our salvation. That's not the reason that we do it. And furthermore, we don't do good works so that we would obtain or maintain the favor of God either. That sometimes we think of it in this way, that if I do these things, will God will bless me and he'll give me everything I want, he'll answer all my prayers. Or we think the other way, well, if I don't do these things, God's going to punish me, God's going to chasten me, and my life's going to be miserable. That the one, the motivation is fear, and the former, it's really a kind of a motivation of selfish greed. Well, I'm going to do these things so that then I can get what I want from God. And we want to realize that God's love is constant and unchanging, that no amount of good deeds that we do can make him love us any more than he does right now. And no amount of evil things that we do or lack of doing good deeds will make him love us any less, that he is no respecter of persons. And so does that mean that therefore, because it doesn't have to do with our salvation, it doesn't have to do with God's favor, that we have a license to live however we want? No, it's not going to affect our salvation or God's love to us, but that is not the case at all. That we do good works not in order to be saved, not in order to stay saved, but we do it because we are saved. We do good works not to gain favor with God or to maintain favor with God, but because we have already obtained favor with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That doing good works is the purpose for which we were saved. It's God's plan for us from the beginning. And if we want to get as to a specific idea of the why that we do good works, it's two things. One, that we might glorify him. And two, that we might have lives that are fruitful. We saw in Matthew 5 and verse 16 where he spoke that our light should shine before men. And it says that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we saw as well in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12, it says that even though that people might speak against us as evildoers, that they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. That it is by our good works that we bring glory to God. Before we were saved, who did we seek glory for? We sought glory only for ourselves. But because God in his mercy and power saved us from hell, saved us from our sins, saved us from ourselves, we now want to spend the rest of our lives honoring and glorifying and giving thanks to him. And doing good works is one of the best ways to do that. That God says to us, as I have shown love and kindness to you, even though you didn't deserve it, I want you to show that same love and kindness to those around you. And doing that, as we allow God to do that through us, people will see God through us. That we read in Romans 2 that it is the goodness of God that bringeth men to repentance. And so if they see the goodness of God's people, God's goodness through his people, that he can use that as well. That someone who is cruel, someone who is unkind, someone who is totally undeserving of love, that we can reach down and show mercy to them. That makes a tremendous difference to them. So then also we recognize as well that we do good works not only to glorify God, but that we might have fruitful lives. Titus chapter 2 and verse, or chapter 3 rather, in verse 14, he said, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Before we were saved, there was no real fruitfulness to our life, that we gave no net benefit to the world. If anything, it was a net loss. We see in Romans chapter 6 and verse 21, Paul asks the question, he says, for what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. That there was no fruit in what we did before, that the only thing that we reaped when we sowed of the flesh was corruption. And there wasn't anything that was a blessing that came out of it. But now in Christ, as we abide in Him and as we do good works to our fellow man, fellow woman, that we can bring forth much fruit. And in that, God again is glorified. John chapter 15 and verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." And that's what He wants us to do, that He wants us to bear much fruit for Him. He wants us to have lives that glorify Him, that He wants us to have lives that are fruitful. That's a whole thought of why He saved us. The purpose for it is our lives what they were before. We're just self-seeking, self-focused, and just ending in nothing but death. But now He wants to bring us lives that are honoring and glorifying to God, that are a sweet savor unto Him and to others, and that are fruitful and abundant by His power and His grace. And that brings us finally to the how of good works. We know that we should do good works, and sometimes we go out, especially as young Christians, that we start to try to do good and do things, but sometimes we try and we struggle and we fail, or we get discouraged in it, especially when we try to do good and it doesn't seem to be appreciated, when it's not noticed. Sometimes even we do good to someone, but then it's rejected. They return evil for our good. That it can be difficult for us to maintain that and to continue on. But the thing is, we can try to do good works in our own strength, in our own power, in our own wisdom. And when we do that, we're going to struggle, we're going to falter, and often we're going to burn out. And that's what often happens as we serve the Lord, that at some point we extend ourselves beyond what God is leading. We try to do more than we're actually able to and empowered to do, and we end up burning out. But we recognize that God is not calling us to do these good works all by ourselves. That these good works that we do as believers are not really our works, but His. That our salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. And I think the Lord knows that's kind of our tendency. That even after we are saved, that we want to kind of say, "Well, look at me, look what I've done." And so often what happens is we do things in our own strength, and we falter and fail, and God just kind of says to us, "Well, see what you did there? That's your work." And then in our brokenness, that He picks us up and He uses us to do something amazing, and He says, "Well, see what just happened? That was my work that I did through you." And so we recognize from what it says in Ephesians 2 verse 10 that we are His workmanship. That what we become, what we do for Him is His doing. And He gets the glory for it. The good works that we do are a byproduct of abiding in Him, as His life and His love flow through us, as He gives us prompting, as He gives us direction, what to do and when, and He gives us strength and power to do those things. That it's the thought that we're part of the vine that He imparts to us, and then we're enabled to impart to others. That our Christian life should be a supernatural outpouring of the grace of God through each of us. That God has shown grace to us, and therefore we're going to show grace to others. That we don't receive it and then kind of dam it up, but instead that we're just a channel through which it flows to those around us as we yield to Him. That we allow God to use us. That as we get a glimpse of His heart for the people around us, as we yield our lives to His prompting and power, then He enables us to touch lives through our own. That we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, as it says, that God has before ordained that we should walk in them. And so let us do as the Scriptures say. Let us, as His children, seek to do these good works for His glory and for His fruit, for our own fruitfulness. And it's not in our own power, not in our own strength, but by His power and by His prompting. And that He would use us in the lives that we touch each day, that they would see our good works, and they would glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word once again, and we just pray you would help us to understand what you want of us, Lord, and help us that we may fulfill your word by your power, that we would glorify you and have lives that are fruitful by following after you and doing these good works as you have done unto us, Lord. We just pray your blessing upon us in all things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to stand. We'll turn to one more hymn, number 386. And of course, if any time any of the Lord's been speaking to you and you needed someone to talk to or counsel with, I'm always available either after the service or later in the week. So, number 386, All for Jesus. On the first, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours, all for Jesus, all for Jesus, all my days and all my hours. Let my hands perform his bidding, let my feet run in his ways, let my eyes see Jesus only, let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, let my lips speak forth his praise. All for Jesus, let my lips speak forth his praise. And the last verse. Oh, what wonder, how amazing, Jesus, glorious King of Kings, deigns to call me his beloved, lets me rest beneath his wings. All for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings. All for Jesus, resting now beneath his wings. Amen. Brother Allen, can you dismiss us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace and your salvation, Lord. We know that when you come into our lives, they change. We just ask that you make us your vessel, Lord, and use us to glorify your name, to show the world what you are through us. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. You're dismissed.